Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. The New Jersey gubernatorial primary is just 6 days away. We continue to interview all the candidates in both the Democratic and Republican races. We've interviewed all six Democrats already, and we're making our way through the Republicans now. Joining me this morning is Somerset Assemblyman Jack Cittarelli, generally considered one of the two leading candidates, along with Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno. Assemblyman, thanks so much for coming on with us. Welcome to WNYC.
Good to be with you, Brian. Thank you for the opportunity.
We live in intense political times, I don't have to tell you. What would you say are the biggest effects so far, good or bad, of the Trump administration on the state of New Jersey?
Well, he's trying to fulfill campaign promises, and I think he's to be applauded for that. It's rare when you see promises being made and then promises trying to be kept. So I think he continues to talk about the issues that matter most to Americans, and he's our president, and I support him.
And what about the effects on New Jersey so far?
Well, certainly, I think the House was looking to fulfill a campaign promise when it promised to repeal and replace Obamacare. I could tell you, as a business owner of 20 people who pays for their health insurance, Obamacare wasn't working. I had a relatively young and a relatively healthy staff, and I experienced another 17% increase with the renewal period this past February 1st. And what a lot of people don't realize is when the employer is paying that kind of health insurance, I'm not able to give the raises I want to because of the increase in health care. So Obamacare certainly wasn't working, but I do think what ultimately comes out of the Senate is going to be very, very different from what came out of the House, and I'll reserve judgment until I see what that repeal and replacement looks like.
So if it were to come out similarly, do you support the House health care bill, and what do you think its impact would be on New Jerseyans?
Well, its impact would be significant with regard to the working poor and the effect on hospitals who do provide a great deal of health care to the working poor. So, again, I'm all for repeal as long as the replacement is better. What came out of the House, I'm not convinced just yet, does as good a job at protecting the working poor. Now, there may be aspects of the Medicaid system that weren't working under Obamacare, so they need to be tweaked. But again, we just need to make sure that this is a go-slow approach. You just can't go from hot to cold with this kind of policy, not when you have this many hundreds of thousands of people depending on Medicaid and 73 hospitals depending on it as well.
When you said in your first answer about how Trump is affecting New Jersey, your main answer was that he's keeping his promises, which is a good thing. If I've got my facts straight, you didn't vote for Trump in November. Neither Trump nor Clinton were acceptable to you. So are you pleasantly surprised by Trump in office?
Well, he's my president. He was elected fair and square. So I'm rooting for the president. I want him to succeed. I think people all around the country should want him to succeed. And I think he's finding his sea legs. I mean, this isn't easy. And I think if you look at any presidency, the first couple of months are very, very challenging. I think he's doing well. I think he's getting better and better at the job. And his most recent trip overseas demonstrates that.
We have breaking news this morning that the president will get out of the Paris Climate Treaty. That's according to unnamed sources at this point, but in many news organizations. Would you support that move? And what do you think the specific implications are for New Jersey?
Well, I feel the way about that climate policy the way I do about the regional greenhouse gas initiative, which the lieutenant governor is advocating that we rejoin, which would create a carbon tax and increase everybody's utility rates. So very much like I feel like in the United States, we need an all-for-one, one-for-all energy policy. I think across the globe, we need buy-in from all the major industrialized nations. It doesn't seem to make much sense to me if we've got a handful of nations that are looking to do something with regard to climate change, but then you have countries like China that are not.
So you would pull out. You support pulling out.
I do. I think it's got to be an all-for-one, one-for-all type policy. And when I say that, I want to be specific. All industrialized nations. I mean, the fact of the matter is, because of the wind, the world's wind currents, what's going on in China creates air pollution in America and the like. So, again, it's got to be an all-for-one, one-for-all type policy.
And if all the countries in the world except the United States are in this treaty, who's the one-for-all exception?
I don't know if there is one. Again, if you look at, I think if there's going to be some type of significant climate policy, all industrialized nations need to be participating, and that's not the case right now.
You said you're an Eisenhower Republican. What does that mean in 21st century terms?
Well, Eisenhower was famous for saying that you elect me to run your government, not your life. And I think given the fiscal and economic crisis of today and as much financial insecurity that people feel, what they want us as policymakers to focus on is how to make the economy better. And that's particularly the case in New Jersey. We're dead last in economic growth, and we're number one in out-migration. We're also number one in another area. More of our college students who go out of state to college don't come back home. And it's terribly difficult to grow an economy when your population is stagnant and getting older. So we need to make people feel as though they can achieve the American dream again here in New Jersey.
Listeners, Republican listeners, first priority, if you're going to vote in the Republican primary next Tuesday in New Jersey for governor, your questions for Jack Cittarelli, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Often when people say Eisenhower Republican, they're talking about a certain kind of moderate Republican, almost the way they would use Rockefeller Republican. Do you not mean that by that?
Well, Brian, I've never been one to use labels. I mean, if you take a look at my voting record, I think what you see is someone who's more about solving problems. I've never thought of myself as rigid in my ideology. I'm not a hyper-partisan. I'm elected to solve problems, and New Jersey has their share of problems. I think what it needs is a roll-up-your-sleeve, hands-on chief executive officer. That's what I've been in the private sector. So I understand that other people are going to use labels to apply to me from time to time. I'm comfortable with that. But again, given the economic and fiscal crisis, I think my sole focus should be turning around the economy here in New Jersey and letting people feel again that they can achieve their American dream here.
One of the other candidates came on last week and said, I'm the most conservative candidate in the race. Would you claim that mantle for yourself, and would you want it?
Listen, I'm very, very conservative on some issues, and for other people, I'm probably not conservative enough. I leave that up to the voter. I'm very, very transparent about what my positions are on any given issue that I'm asked about, and I'll let other people apply the labels. But here's the deal. Of all the candidates that are in this race, I'm the only person who's an MBA, CPA, entrepreneur, and business owner. I've been in the private sector for 30 years. Yes, I've served 2 terms at the municipal level, 2 terms at the freeholder level, and now 3 terms, 6 years in the assembly. I've term limited myself every time, never taken the benefits. In fact, as a freeholder, I never even took the salary. And I'm giving up my assembly seat to run for governor. I really do believe that with our policies and our politics, we really need a new direction. A new message and a new messenger, that's what my candidacy provides.
Another health care question. As governor, would you want Medicaid turned into a block grant for the states rather than a federal guarantee for people below a certain income? That seems to be a prime characteristic of the Ryan bill.
Well, I like the community development block grant approach a lot because it gives us a lot more freedom. So with the right kind of waivers from the federal government, I think that we can do some very, very innovative things to ensure that we're providing convenient access to high-quality care for the working poor at much less the cost. And we have 2 very compelling examples of that right here in my own county with the Zarephath Health Clinic and the Zufall Health Clinic.
And so what kinds of, assuming it was less money, because that's part of the blueprint, block grants for the states and less money, what's an example of an innovation that could let you serve as many people without, cutting people off of Medicaid who need it, and still do that with less money?
So here's what Zarephath Health does. It gets doctors from the region to dedicate, volunteer 1 day a week at the clinic treating patients. And we need to pass a few laws that exempt those doctors from certain kind of liabilities since they're working for free. But that model has worked very, very well. The working poor know that Zarephath Health is there 24/7 providing convenient access to high-quality care. Zufall Health does an entirely different model. It hires doctors right out of medical school. After they've done their residency and passed their boards, they come on for much less salary in return for having their student loan paid for while employed by the clinic. And again, this is another clinic that provides high quality, convenient access to very, very high quality care, keeping the working poor out of the emergency room. I, quite frankly, would like to see these models replicated around the state. I think they have the opportunity to provide, again, that convenient access to high-quality care at much less the cost.
Zachary in Glen Ridge, you're on WNYC with Jack Cittarelli. Hi, Zachary.
Hello. I would like to raise a question about the cost of the public pension system and how those costs can be reined in to achieve a measure of property tax relief for the homeowners of our state.
Mr. Chair,
Very good, Zachary. Thank you for that. If anyone gets the chance, if they go to jack4gov.com, that's Jack, the number 4, gov.com, you will see my five-point plan. It's the kind of thing I've always given my investors, shareholders, my customers, and my employees. It's very, very specific. And point two in that plan is how we reform public workers' employee benefits, which I think are still too generous. So, Zachary, here's what I'm proposing. All those employed less than 10 years in the public sector are going into a cash balance plan. All new hires go into a 401k. All current and future retirees whose pension plus Social Security, and don't forget the taxpayer paid for one half of that Social Security, if their pension plus their Social Security is more than $50,000, they begin to contribute toward their own post-retirement health care benefit. And we will also make an end to this unused sick and vacation time and people getting a huge check upon retirement. Sick and vacation time will become use it, lose it under Governor Cetarelli, just as it became in Somerset County when it was Freeholder Cetarelli. And I will take every penny saved from those four measures, which frees up billions, and pour it back into the pension system to point it towards solvency. As a CPA, I've done pension plan accounting. You've got to decrease the long-term unfunded liability, decrease the current expense, and increase the current payment. We can do that without going back to the people of New Jersey for another dime in taxes.
And you got the endorsement for this primary of The Record, also known these days as NorthJersey.com, largely on this basis. They said most interesting is his willingness to grab the third rail in New Jersey politics, eliminate pensions for future state employees and replace them with a 401k, protect older employees' pensions, and develop a hybrid product for state employees caught in between the two groups. This is how you reduce state debt, unquote. So how would you protect the older employees and current retirees' pensions, people already retired,
correct,
better
Ryan.
Better than your rivals?
That's one reason why I put the $50,000 threshold in there. So if you're a retiree that's in the 70s or 80s and you retired in a different time and era where the benefits weren't as generous as they are today, you are more than likely protected because your pension plus your Social Security after retiring from government is not more than $50,000 a year. More than likely, it's less. And don't forget, if you start to get above $50,000, I will use a sliding scale to have you contribute toward your own post-retirement health care benefit. And it's not until you hit that $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 range where you're really contributing most of the cost, which, again, I think is fair. This is the only way to protect the pension, which Moody's and Standard & Poor's say goes broke in 2027. And not only has The Record endorsed me because of my specificity with regard to these reforms, but the Philadelphia Inquirer and the Star-Ledger have as well for the same reasons.
On teacher pensions specifically, which are funded more by the state than other local worker pensions, you've proposed for all current and future teacher retirees, no post-retirement Medicare Part B reimbursement if their pension plus Social Security equals or exceeds $30,000 per year. You want to penalize retirees getting that little income, $30,000 a year?
No. Again, if you're making less than $50,000, you will, all bets are off, and we will honor the benefit, meaning your post-retirement health care benefit will continue to be paid for life. But if your pension plus your Social Security is more than $50,000, and again, don't forget, the taxpayer paid for one half of that Social Security. If your pension plus your Social Security is more than $50,000, I believe you should start contributing toward your post-retirement health care benefit. Let's be specific about what we're talking about. Everyone's in the Medicare system, but your Medicare gap, Medicare supplemental, is being paid for 100% by the state in a Cadillac plan. This is no longer sustainable, not in light of the fact that the post-retirement health care benefit has tripled in cost in the last 10 to 15 years, and people are living into their 80s and 90s. The math, it's just not mathematically sustainable.
Is it $50,000, or I thought I read $30,000 in your op-ed last week?
No, that's $50,000.
Okay, I apologize.
Not at all.
And on the concept, the current retirees will say it's one thing to change pension rules for future retirees for budget reasons. They can take the job or not. But why isn't hitting current retirees a case of breaking promises? that the people made to their public servants in negotiated contracts?
Well, Brian, I feel this way. There's two circumstances that have changed dramatically. Yes, the state has not made the full payment, but let's look at why the state hasn't made the full payment. It's because it's pouring hundreds of billions of dollars into a post-retirement health care benefit for hundreds of thousands of employees. So one of the reasons why we haven't made the pension payment is because on a cash basis, every 12 months, we're paying for this post-retirement health care benefit that is way too generous. But also the fact that the post-retirement health care benefit has tripled in cost and people living into their 80s and 90s. And that's another reason why we haven't made the full pension payment. So we need to put ourselves in position to do so. The post-retirement health care benefit is causing a crowding out effect of epic proportion. We need to reform that benefit. Now, we reformed pension and health care back in 2011. That was before I got to the legislature. But we didn't touch the post-retirement health care benefit, and we need to.
Martin in Ridgewood, you're on WNYC with Jack Cittarelli. Hello. Martin, you there? Martin once. Martin twice. George in Tenafly, you're on WNYC. Hi, George.
I wanted to get back to the question that you asked about the Paris Agreement.
Okay.
He seemed to be saying that there aren't all other industrialized nations signed into that agreement, including China, and I think that seems factually incorrect. Could you comment on that, please?
Well, listen, I always stand to be corrected, but my understanding was not all industrialized nations, including China, were participating in that climate agreement as they were supposed to. In fact, what we've heard repeatedly is that there's abuses in China in not following the accords of that agreement.
So it's not that they're in the agreement. The point you were making is that they're not equally demanded of in the agreement, or that they're cheating on the agreement compared to the United States?
Correct. And so, listen, we all know an agreement's not an agreement unless everybody's following the rules of the agreement. My understanding has been is that not all industrialized nations are in, and even those some that are not following every one of the shall we say, standards established in the agreement.
For Jack Cittarelli, Republican hopeful for governor of New Jersey, candidate in next Tuesday's gubernatorial primary, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We'll continue to give first priority to registered Republicans or independents who plan to vote in the Republican primary. Remember, folks, in New Jersey, you can vote in either primary if you're registered as an independent. If you're registered in a party, you can only vote in that party's primary. You can't cross over. But if you're a Republican or an independent, you can vote in the Republican primary. If you're a Democrat or an independent, you can vote in the Democratic primary. We're taking calls from people who can vote in the Republican primary for Jack Cittarelli today, 212-433-9692. And Zev in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Hi, Zev.
Hi, Brian. Thank you for taking my call. My question is, actually it's primarily for you, Brian. But why is it that every single time a local Republican running for local office comes on your show for, to do an interview, going into the lines then, so to speak, why do you always turn it into kind of, an inquisition on their views on Trump, an inquisition on their views on, there are really federal issues?
Well, I think I've asked very specific questions today about, and I think I always do, to be perfectly honest, about impacts of this administration, which is changing a lot or trying to change a lot in federal policy on the state. Mr. Cittarelli, you can endorse that response if you choose. But I think I've been asking Zev very specific questions about Trump's impact on the state of New Jersey and these many changes that he wants to make, like on health care and climate, on the state of New Jersey, in particular in the positions that it would put a gubernatorial or a governor in once that person becomes governor. Do you also have a question for the candidate?
Yeah, my other question for the candidate would be specifically, how low will my property tax burden go down under your administration?
So, Zev, what town do you live in? Was it Somerset?
Yes, Somerset. He's in your district,
very good.
Right?
And I'm thinking that he's talking about the Somerset section of Franklin Township, although my plan would apply to anyone in Somerset County. So with regard to my school funding reform plan, people's property taxes would go down on the average home anywhere from $500 to $1,000-plus. And that's because what we'll do is a more equitable distribution of the $10 billion that we use to fund K through 12 education in this state. Right now, 60% of that funding goes to only 35 districts. A number of those districts have, in fact, experienced revitalization. And in theory, as a town revitalizes and its ability to pay for its own schools increases, its state aid should be decreased. And the problem with the current school funding formula is that's not the case. You have communities like Jersey City and Hoboken that have experienced significant revitalization, and yet their aid has not been decreased. To add insult to industry, their state aid, add insult to injury, their aid has only increased. And this isn't the way any type of government aid is supposed to work. So my school funding reform plan takes the money away from those school districts, those communities that are overfunded because they've experienced revitalization, and gives it to a great many underfunded districts like Somerset. And the people there would experience anywhere from a $500 to $1,000 decrease in their property taxes.
Ronald in Basking Ridge, you're on WNYC with Jack Cittarelli. Hi, Ronald.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My question is regarding the inheritance transfer tax in New Jersey. As you know, we have the worst inheritance and estate taxes in all of the United States. I was recently hit with a colossal tax from my aunt who passed away, and it's really an unfair tax. It's a double level. I know there's bills put forth in the legislation by Tom Kaine Jr. to have it removed. There are other bills to have it phased out or made more fair. And I think this is something that really affects the quality of life and the future of people who have put their heart and souls into this state. And I'd like to ask the candidate how he feels about the inheritance transfer tax.
Yeah, Ronald, I couldn't agree more. In fact, again, if you go to my website and you click on my tax reform plan, I do a total overhaul of the tax code because page after page after page is a disincentive, and it ruins our economy. It punishes New Jerseyans every day. You talked about how it punished you, and it really makes the American dream all but impossible here in New Jersey. So I will make sure the estate tax stays abolished. I get rid of transfer inheritance taxes, which you were just subject to. That touches more people than the estate tax. I won't ever tax the gain on the sale of a home. We won't allow the municipality to increase property taxes on your home just because you did a home improvement. We won't tax the gain on the sale of a business, a mom-and-pop shop in New Jersey. We'll phase out the corporate business tax, and we'll balance the ledger by closing some loopholes and playing with our marginal rates so that we lower everyone's overall tax bill, but we make the optics, perception, and brand of New Jersey much better than it is today. We are ranked number one in the nation in worst business climate. And a lot of that has to do with our tax code. We also have 70% of New Jerseyans that are looking to leave, and a lot of that has to deal with the tax code. So I'm looking to do what Reagan did in the early 1980s with a total overhaul of our tax code. It's something I feel very comfortable and confident in doing as someone who's practiced as a CPA.
The Record and its endorsement of you also liked your proposal to create two higher tax brackets for very high wage earners. What would those be?
Well, what I've said is if you have $1 million in taxable income, you would pay $800 more a year in income taxes. But that $800 would be more than offset by the savings derived from getting rid of the estate tax, getting rid of transfer inheritance taxes, never taxing the gain on the sale of a home, never paying additional property tax for a home improvement, no gain on the sale of a family-owned business, and getting rid of the corporate business tax. And what people need to know, most importantly, Brian, is no one aspect of my tax reform package gets implemented, enacted unto itself. It is an all-for-one, one-for-all package. It's called a tax restructuring that just creates a tide that lifts all boats.
So is that a greater willingness to tax the wealthy on the basis of wealth than other Republican candidates in the race?
Well, I'm not going to speak to it in that terms because it goes, in my mind, down a road that's a dead end. It's a tax restructuring, and I've run this tax restructuring. I announced this plan back in October 4th when I announced. I've run it by businesses of all sizes. I've run it across individuals across every rung on the income ladder, including high net worth people, and every one of them has said, sign me up. Compared to what we have today, I would take that deal today. And the other analogy that I draw is this. If I increase your water bill by $5, but I lower your gas and electric bill by $20, you would take that deal 7 days a week and twice on Sunday.
Al in Maplewood, you're on WNYC with Jack Cittarelli. Hi, Al.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. New Jersey Transit is in a predicament right now, as well as Amtrak. We've got problems in New York Penn Station. We've got problems in raising sufficient funds to fund the Gateway Project, which would add two new rail tunnels under the Hudson. Portal Bridge, if that fails, which it is on many occasions, the entire Northeast Corridor will be tied up between New York and Washington. What does the candidate propose to ameliorate this situation?
Well, I voted no on the 23-cent gas tax increase because there was a better way to do that. I think it insulted people's intelligence, this notion of lowering your sales tax an eighth of a penny, which saves you about $34 a year. You're spending more than that in 2 months of gas purchases. But the fact of the matter is it was passed by the legislature, despite my no vote, and signed into law by the administration. So here we are now with this 23-cent gas tax increase, which does provide us with $2 billion a year in infrastructure funds. And I think that there needs to be an immediate reprioritization and redirection of those funds towards New Jersey Transit because it's in crisis. I'm the only candidate that's actually got on the platform. I was there again this morning in Summit, speaking with commuters. I did it in Middletown. I took the train into New York a couple weeks back from Secaucus, speaking to New Jersey Transit riders. I think my brand of leadership isn't just about talking the talk, but walking the walk. So we need to redirect monies. We need to get rid of the light rail in a couple cities that were also part of that gas tax increase. To me, that's pork. And we just can't afford it right now. And the other thing that I proposed is a total reorganization of state government. I'd like to see New Jersey DOT, Department of Transportation, New Jersey Transit, and motor vehicles all under one roof. I think it'll improve accountability, transparency, and it'll become more fiscally sustainable. Motor vehicles generates $1.5 billion a year in fees from individuals and businesses, and I hate to see it end up in that black hole known as the general fund. I think it should really, those fees should be used to be spent on infrastructure. And that would make for a much more, I think, effective way of improving our infrastructure. A couple other things. One, we have to work with New Jersey Transit in terms of reorganizing its management. We can no longer afford to raid the capital reserves to balance the annual operating budget each year. That's a recipe for disaster. And as governor, I promise you this. The executive branch will work better with our New Jersey congressional delegation, both U.S. senators and all 12 Congress people, to advocate for New Jersey. We're dead last in the nation when you compare the amount of federal income taxes we send to Washington compared to what we get back. And this state's economy is important to the region. The region's economy is critical to the nation's economy. And we want that rail tunnel underneath the Hudson. Now, Ted Kennedy got his big dig underneath the Boston Harbor. We want our tunnel, and it belongs in Trump's trillion-dollar infrastructure budget. And the last thing I'll do is renegotiate a new tax agreement with New York. Our tax agreement with New York is the complete opposite of our tax agreement with Pennsylvania. We've got 200,000 New Jerseyans that pay no income tax on their wages to New Jersey. They pay income tax on their wages to New York because that's where they work. And we need to change that policy. It's unfair, and I believe even unconstitutional, to New Jersey.
Governor Cuomo floated the idea that maybe the bi-state Port Authority should take control of Penn Station from Amtrak. Do you like that idea?
I'm open to that idea as long as New Jersey has an equal say in how these things are going to be managed. There's been mismanagement at the Port Authority. It's been a pit of patronage. That won't happen under my governorship. And again, we need to better advocate for New Jersey.
We have 1 minute left. My last question is, despite Governor Christie's two terms, New Jersey is a pretty blue state. Why would you stand a better chance of winning in November than other candidates in the primary? Certainly a lot of voters in any primary for any party, you know, vote on the largely on the chance of who's going to beat the other guy. And anything else you want to say to the voters as a closing statement in 1 minute?
Well, Brian, I really believe the only way Republicans win this November is if we move beyond the Christie-Gaudino era. We will not win unless we have a new message, a new messenger, and a new direction. That's what my candidacy provides. MBA, CPA, entrepreneur, business owner, I really think given the fiscal and economic crisis of the day, what we need is a roll-up-your-sleeve, hands-on chief executive officer. I'm also the only candidate that has a very specific plan to address the fiscal and economic crisis in this state. It's what I've always given my shareholders, customers, and employees. So let's go in a new direction. And I'll tell you this, Republicans can win this November if their candidate is Jack Ciattarelli.
Jack Ciattarelli, Assemblyman and candidate in next Tuesday's Republican gubernatorial primary. Thanks for giving us so much time. I really appreciate it. If you win the nomination, we really look forward to having you back in the general.
Look forward to it, Brian. Thank you very much.